It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. It's coming up, news guy Noah Ovshinsky puts on his chef's hat. He's going to share some advice on amazing campfire cooking.
First, looking at a list of educational measurements comparing Milwaukee to the rest of the state, it looks like you could be comparing different countries. The number of 8th grade students in that state proficient in math is 45%. In Milwaukee, that number just over 17%.
Disparities like that and others have raised concern within the city and around the state for decades. And some what appears to be good news yesterday, the Educational Collaboration Milwaukee Succeeds reported a number of improvements in Milwaukee schools and 8 of 11 educational benchmarks. Those measurements range from the percentage of kids in high-quality childcare to average ACT score.
Milwaukee Succeeds was started in 2011, and it brings together public, private, and charter schools and leaders in Milwaukee's educational community to improve learning across the city.
Here with us now is Mike Soika, director of Milwaukee Succeeds. Mike, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, let's start with these new numbers out. Looking at progress since Milwaukee Succeeds started up a few years ago, what in these new numbers are you most excited about?
Well, we're excited about the trend. You know, any number, any year will move one way or another. But what we're seeing is a whole host of numbers, 8 out of 11, moving in a positive direction, and we're excited about that.
We'll dig deeper into that, but let's go back to the origin of Milwaukee Succeeds. Where did this idea come from?
Well, Milwaukee Succeeds is modeled after a very successful program in Cincinnati. The program's name is Strive. In fact, Strive is now being replicated in over 40 cities across the United States, and I'm happy to say that Milwaukee was one of the first to jump on board.
And who all is involved in this project?
In Milwaukee, it's a virtual who's who. What I love about Milwaukee Succeeds is we are both a grassroots organization and a top-down organization. On the grassroots side, we have nearly 300 schools and nonprofits working with us across 9 different groups. And then on the top-down side, you know, we are a who's who of decision makers in the city of Milwaukee. You name a person who needs to be involved in education in the city, and they are on our leadership council or on our executive committee.
Education is often controversial and contentious. We could double or maybe even square that for education in Milwaukee. Do you have a lot of people who, outside of Milwaukee Succeeds, differ on issues? And if so, how do you resolve those within the organization?
Well, as you said, Rob, education in Milwaukee is a hotbed issue, and many groups are kind of calcified in their position, either in support of public schools or support of voucher schools or support of charter schools. And what one of the positive aspects of Milwaukee Succeeds is that we have representatives of all those sectors at our table, and we work very hard to keep them at the table. And that's a testament to the leadership who's involved. And when someone tends to stray, the leaders will meet with them and talk to them and bring them back and keep them focused on the larger goal, which is education for all kids.
So an agree-to-disagree approach, it sounds like.
Right, pretty much. Find out where you can agree and where you can't agree. Just understand the politics of that.
Well, let's dig into what you've done. One of the benchmarks, and this is what got a lot of the headlines in the journal Sentinel today, improved reading scores for kindergarten students. What are the trends there, and what are you doing to try to move that in the right direction?
Yeah, the trends are positive, and we've been very active on looking at improving third-grade reading scores. As the report shows, only 15% of Milwaukee students are reading at a proficient level or higher, and that's just not going to get us where we need to be. We've looked at that, and we are piloting some different ways to do tutoring. We call it focused tutoring, and the idea is you try to understand if you can identify the specific needs of the student, and then if you can train the volunteer tutor to be able to meet those needs, will you see an improvement in the child's reading scores? And what we've shown in the pilot programs is absolutely yes. In fact, in one of the grades where we've had this focused tutoring program underway, the children in the program had a rate of reading success that was 2.5 times greater than the children who weren't in the program.
So where did this idea come from to have this targeted tutoring program?
Well, Some of the groups in town do this, but not a lot. When we started looking at this, we surveyed nearly 100 of the organizations in Milwaukee doing tutoring, and what we found is only 20% of them had the ability to do this kind of in-depth tutoring. But yet, when you look at the need in the city of Milwaukee, as I said, 85% of the kids are reading at a below proficient level, and in fact, 55% are reading at a minimal level. So we had this great need and a lot of organizations that could not meet it under their current way of operating. And what we are about in Milwaukee Succeeds is to identify best practices and then expand on those best practices. So we looked at the Dyslexia Center and the Cardinal Stritch, and then we looked nationwide at tutoring programs that seemed to work and found that, you know, we can fairly easily replicate the success of those practices and put them into practice across a broad sector of the population.
So you started this tutoring program, as I understand it, in one particular school, a charter school in this case. Is it your hope that then that's portable? You can take it to any, maybe every school in the district?
Yeah, actually, we did the tutoring program in two Catholic schools and a charter school. And then we also did a teacher coaching program in an MPS school. And that's another aspect of one of the practices we think has a high propensity for success.
So apart from that tutoring program and the reading scores that have gone along with it, what are some of the other successes you've seen at Milwaukee Succeeds?
Well, when we look at making sure that children are ready for school when they hit kindergarten, you know, we've had a three-pronged approach. One is to ensure or double the number of children who attend high-quality childcare. Two is to make sure that children are immunized. And immunization is important of itself, but what we're really after is making sure that children have a medical home so that they see a doctor on a routine basis and that any issues that they might have, vision, dental, hearing, whatever, can be handled before they come to school. And then the third one is to work with parents to understand, you know, how their children develop and to identify resources if they aren't developing socially, emotionally at a scale that makes sense.
So the concept there, it sounds like, is don't wait till they get to kindergarten to start working with kids.
Right. Yeah, it's way too late when they get to kindergarten. It's unfortunate to say that, but that's the truth of the matter. And you know, one of the things we're seeing is a large growth in the number of children who are attending high-quality child care. That number is rising and will continue to rise, we hope.
What are some of the other programs maybe later in the school career that you're hopeful for in Milwaukee Succeeds?
Yeah, one of the issues that is paramount to us is looking at the social-emotional learning or the social-emotional growth of children. We call this our goal four, and our goal four says make sure that children are healthy and supported socially and emotionally, and we understand that if a child is distraught or has experienced some sort of trauma, you know, their ability to learn is diminished pretty decidedly. And there are a number of programs across the United States that we're looking at to enhance that social-emotional learning. In Chicago, for example, they've been looking at a curriculum-based social-emotional learning program that has started in 2004. And in the schools that have implemented that with fidelity, they've seen some remarkable results. Items like important behavioral changes that improved by 50%, and academic performance has improved by between 11 and 17%. And that's not unusual. You also see that same kind of statistic growth in Austin, Texas, and other places where when a school system looks at social-emotional learning and treats it as an important aspect, as important as reading and math, you start to see some pretty dramatic results. And it's not surprising if a teacher is spending less time on behavioral issues in the classroom and more time on education, you can see the results.
Sounds like a recurring theme here is you're looking for stuff with a track record or some research behind it. Is that an overarching goal of yours?
Yeah, we pride ourselves on being a data-driven organization, you know, and we want to make sure that we are lifting up best practices. We want to make sure that we're aligning resources around those best practices. And the way to understand that is to be data-driven. And what we find is one of the reasons that we're able to have these hundreds of organizations involved with us and stay involved with us is that we take the argument out of the realm of politics and keep it at the realm of facts and figures. And it makes life a lot simpler that way.
Mike, I know this is an ongoing effort, but let's look, say, 10 years in the future. At that point, what does success look like?
Well, I think what success looks like is that we've increased the number of measures that we're looking at and that those measures increasingly are continue to move in a positive trend. Again, what we want to make sure is that the trends are going in the right direction, you know, and not necessarily look at individual year variables. So in 10 years, we want to be able to look back and say those children that came into kindergarten are now in 10th grade and they are doing well and they are scoring above a 21 on the ACTs and they are looking forward to college or a career that's attractive for a 21st century graduate.
Mike, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thanks for having me, Rob.
We've been speaking with Mike Soyka, director of Milwaukee Succeeds. A report out yesterday shows that education benchmarks in Milwaukee are improving in 8 of the 11 areas they were looking at.